I sent Pastor Jesse a note. I said, this phrase was all up in our message this morning. But let's start out like we always do, like God told us, with John 3:16 and 17. Then I'm going to ask you to just make a little confession, and we'll jump right in. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Let's say that again. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why did he send him? That the world through him might be saved. See, it's very important that we understand that. There are too many believers, too many people walking around under the tag believers that are condemning the world publicly, on media, protesting, burning down their buildings, all in the name of Jesus. We have to dare to walk in absolute godly love, because the Bible tells us that the greatest is love. The greatest is not protest. The greatest certainly is not violence. The greatest is love. I'm telling you, folks, it's become very hard for me to be cross with folks when I keep remembering that I have to love them the way Jesus loves me. Jesus is never cross with me, no matter what I do. Never. And so I can't afford to be cross with anyone else. So why don't you repeat this after me? I am a believer. The love of God is evident in me. Therefore, I am kind. I am not envious. I don't boast. I don't brag. I don't strut about. I'm not arrogant. I'm never rude, crude, or indecent. I'm not self-absorbed. I'm not easily upset. I don't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice. I delight in truth. Now I need you to take a deep breath. Okay, if you have to squeeze the person's hands next to you while you say yes, it's okay. Okay. Say, I put up with anything and anyone that comes along. Okay, now you can exhale. All right. I will trust, hope, and endure no matter what. I'm a believer. I love others the same way Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. Now, I'm going to ask the host to give everyone a little slip of paper. And when you get the paper, what I want you to do, don't put your name on it. Okay. I don't know who it is. All right. Because I'm going to collect them. But I want you to write down the things that are pressing on your mind and troubling your heart. I want you to just take a moment and write them down. Hopefully you only need one sheet of paper. Okay. But if you need more, just fit what you can on that and hold on, because help's coming. This message was, well, naturally it was born of the Holy Ghost, but the way God gave it to me, Pastor Ed and I were sitting with Eddie James after we call it a concert, but certainly wasn't a concert last Wednesday. And in the conversation, I just heard myself saying some things to him and one of the young men that have come through his program. And Eddie got excited and he said, he told me he was going someplace this weekend, and he said, I'm going to preach that. He said, would you say it again? I said, I'm going to try, but I didn't, it just, I'm as surprised as you are by it. Oh, you're like, what is it? I'm going to tell you after I collect them. After. Just let me know when you're ready. Just raise your hand and the host will, you'll fold them in half so they can't peek at it either. And the host will collect them and bring them to me. I'm not looking for any particular answer. There is absolutely no wrong answer. This is something that's pressing. That's troubling you. You can write one too. Hallelujah. You can bring them to me when you get them. Only one person in here whose handwriting I absolutely know. Okay. This one I'm going to save. Okay, financial help. Becoming the person that God wants me to be. Okay. Why believers are not faithful tithers? Why believers are not committed totally to Christ? I am concerned that people do not want to come to church. My spouse's health and vitality, and my future finances. We're going to put this one right here, if you don't mind. Okay. For increase in my resources, to be blessed to be a blessing to others. Good friends, good family, good neighbors. Okay, this one goes over here. Okay, this one goes over here. Okay, finances, youth, and God's plan for me. Okay. The hurts, circumstances that the kids of this generation are enduring due to adult behaviors. Hopefully I don't pick up my iPad and walk around and go flying over. Things that bother me, my future, after college, what happens, and my health. Right. No, these are very good. My marriage and my children. These are things that are pressing. Wisdom, I think this is and health, but the and sign looks like a dollar sign. So I'm wondering if it's wisdom, money, and health. Okay. Total financial liberation, to pay off mortgage, so I'll be free to invest in the kingdom and a closer relationship with God. These things are pressing. Life. Concerned about life. And why is the church not as powerful as the Bible says? I can answer that right off. The church is as powerful as the Bible says. And we're going to find out this morning one of the reasons why we're not seeing it. Okay? I have four questions. And then we're going to take care of all of this. Are you born again Christians? Okay. Do you believe the Bible? Then why are these things troubling you? And what qualifies them as a problem for you? If we're born again Christian and we believe the Bible, why are these things troubling? And what qualifies them as a problem for a believer? These are the questions that we're going to answer. What I said to Eddie James, and I don't remember it verbatim, but it was along the lines of, the problem is that believers don't remember or understand the benefits of being a Christian. Because if we remembered the benefits, or if we understood the benefits, worldly things wouldn't be attracted. Worldly issues wouldn't be a concern. Because we understand our Christian benefit plan. And the problem is, we don't realize it, but we allow ourselves to be consumed with things like this. Even the good ones. We want to see the church powerful. Well, that thought can consume you and throw you off course. Because if God tells you to do something and you don't see it as directly being related to making the church more powerful, you might go off and do something else that you think might be more beneficial. Why? Because I have this thing pressing. And some of these things get to the place where when you think about them, it's like you can't breathe. It's like that commercial for that illness, I'm not making fun of that that condition, but when they have that elephant sitting on someone's chest. That's the feeling that we get when we have all of these issues and they're pressing. And it's scriptural. Let's go to Luke 8 quickly. This isn't anything new. I didn't go through the Bible and find hidden scriptures. Okay. Well, they say this isn't one of the lost books. This is part of the parable of the sower. I'm going to read it in three translations. King James says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." The Amplified Version says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear." What do they hear? They hear the word. They hear it. "But as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life." Choked and suffocated by cares and anxieties. And you could say in desires. "And their fruit does not ripen." Means it doesn't come to maturity and perfection. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily, or you could say, bring forth fruit with patience. Now listen to the Phillips translation. The seed sown among thorns represents the people who hear the message and go on their way, and with the worries and riches and pleasures of living, the life is choked out of them. And in the end, they produce nothing. Well, when life is choked out, what's left? Death. But the seed sown on good soil means the men who hear the message and accept it with a good and honest heart and go on steadily producing a good crop. See, God never intended us to get wrapped up with cares and anxieties. It was never part of his plan for us from the beginning. He had Jesus, you could be turning to John 16, but he had Jesus address that because he wanted to make sure that we fully understood that we want to have any cares or concerns whatsoever. So when you look at everything Jesus had told them from John 1 to John 16:32, this is out of the Amplified, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and we forget this part, I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. See, so the promise is real. The promise is sure. And the promise brings with it unparalleled power. Unparalleled power. All we have to do is remember. That's it. We have to remember. So why do we fret? Why do we place so much emphasis on what's that which is causing us anguish, uncertainty, pain, hurt? Why do we, you know, just seem to focus on those things that seem to choke the life out of us? Why can't we just let it go? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his, what? Benefits. Forget not all his benefits. What's, somebody tell me, what's a benefit? What's a benefit? He said, don't forget my benefits. What's a benefit? Help, I heard. Something that is good for you. That's right, something that's advantageous, something that improves or promotes. But I came across a definition that just blew everything right out the water. And actually, it's an idiom. But it makes sense. Listen to this. A benefit is something to produce a desired effect in another's mind. Yeah. A benefit is something to produce the desired effect in another person's mind. That means I do something to cause the way I want you to act to become how you think in your mind. My actions, what I do, what I provide, causes you to have different thoughts about things. God says, forget not all my benefits. God is doing things to cause us to have a different mindset about everything. About everything. Starting with him. Starting with who he is. But if we don't remember the benefits, we don't have any change in our thinking. And so we keep on worrying. We keep on having anxieties. We keep on wondering what's going to happen with our marriage, what's going to happen with our children. Where's the money going to come from to go to college? I know God told me to go. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But we already know how. If we remember all of the benefits, God said the just shall live by faith. He didn't say the just shall live by what their parents can provide. He said the just shall live by faith. Paul told us, my God shall supply all your need. Period. He didn't put any conditions on it. He didn't say, my God shall supply all your need as long as the economy stays steady. He didn't say that. He said, my God shall supply all your need, period. We put other punctuation marks there. And even though it's not proper English, the one punctuation mark that we use too often is a question mark. My God shall supply all my need? Okay. The question. There's no assurity that it's so. What? We've forgotten his benefits. So we're concerned about our spouse's health, our finances, what God wants us to do. All these become concerns about us. We're concerned about wisdom. It's already a benefit. What did he say about wisdom? How do you get wisdom? He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who does what? Provides it liberally. He just gets bushels of wisdom and just throws it on you. Why? Because you asked. That's all. You just asked for it. And when we understand that, I'm no longer concerned about whether or not I have the wisdom for a particular situation. I already know I don't have it, but I know where to go and get it. See? I mean, let's think about this. Let's think about this. People don't carry a lot of cash pretty much anymore. If they need something, because there's some restaurants that don't take plastic. Some of them happen to have some pretty good food. Especially if you go to Chinatown, and not a lot of restaurants. in the old school Chinese restaurants, they don't take credit cards. No problem. I don't have cash with me. I know where to go and get it. I go take my ATM card and go to that machine and get out what I need. Well, guess what? To access what God has, we have an ATM card that's already connected. The PIN number's already been put in place. Name is Jesus. And because of him, I have access to everything that God promised me. I just have to remember it. I just have to remember. That's why our thinking's been affected. This is what matters. This is according to the Message Bible in Psalm 103. He forgives your sins, everyone. Everyone. So we don't have to worry about what we did wrong. He's forgiven our sins. He heals your diseases, everyone. So why is there a concern about our health? Because of what we see? Remember, Jesus didn't say that we weren't going to go through stuff. He said it's already handled. So if it's already handled, why are we fretting? Did any of you watch last Sunday's message in Nanuet or listen to it? You may want to do that this week. It's called, if you don't start something, there won't be nothing. Okay, all right. You want to listen to that. I don't have time to go into it today. I don't know, maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. But you want to go into it. He redeems you from hell and everything associated with it. He crowns you with love and mercy. Calls it a paradise crown. Listen to this one. He wraps you in goodness. No matter what comes, you're wrapped in goodness. Period. We need to understand that. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Now, how many of you have electronic Bibles? Turn, please, to the Message Bible, to Psalm 103, because I want as many of us that can to read verse 6 out loud. Because when you think about needing liberation, total liberation, financial liberation, an increase in your resources, your marriage, your children, life, the hurts and circumstances that our children, our young children are facing. Are you there? Is everyone there? Psalm 103, Message Bible. Okay, is everyone there that has one? Okay, let's read verse 6 nice and loud. Let's read it. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. You think about that. God makes everything come out right. Everything. He puts victims back on their feet. We think about that. So it doesn't matter what you're going through, you're going to land feet first. Doesn't matter how far the fall is, you're going to land on your feet. And everything's going to be all right. What's that song? I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Because God is going to put he's going to make everything right. How do I know it? He said so. And that's all the proof I need. God said so. Whatever we're faced with doesn't matter because God makes everything right. Puts us back on our feet. When the circumstances scream at you, don't fret. Just remind them. God's going to make all of this right. He put me back on my feet. So if I were you, I'd leave before he gets here. Because he's not going to take too kindly to you messing with one of his children. But we panic. See, God, through his benefits, will produce the desired effect in your mind. What's the desired effect? That you realize you're just and all you need is faith as a grain of mustard seed. And then you'll open your mouth and repeat the things God has already said. Period. And only. Only. I mean, I know it's rude. But I almost feel like someone calls and starts complaining, saying, okay, I got to go. And hang up the phone. Why? So I don't get in agreement with anyone they're saying. With that negative stuff that they're saying. But instead, we need to cut people off. Say, whoa, hold it. Stop. You're forgetting all of his benefits. Not saying you're not going through that, but remember, God makes everything come out right, and he'll put you back on your feet. So let's talk about that, and only that. When stuff starts coming, so what if you wind up in the hospital? Talk about the things you're going to do for God when you come out. Why? Because since he said, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed, you coming out. Exactly. Since they're always getting you, so you need to get up and walk around. Okay, you go in this room, introduce yourself, lay hands on them, start doing work while you're in there. What difference does it make? Doctors laugh at me when they meet me for the first time. How you doing? I've never been better a day in my life. Well, you're in my office. What does that have to do with anything? That's why I say to them, what does that have to do with anything? Our doctor has studied us, me and my wife, Deacon Phyllis. And he's gotten to the place watching us, writing out prescriptions, saying, you're not going to get this filled, are you? We're like, no. But you need to. I said, Doctor, I know God didn't tell you to take it. I'm like, you can write it if you want to. But he wants to come to the church. He said, in the summer, give me some dates when you're in Nanuet. My wife and I are coming. Now, he's Hindu. But because of the interactions, his wife now goes to a Christian church every Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, he used to go and play. He's an avid tennis player. And he would go and play tennis on Sundays. But he played tennis until 10, and service started at 10, and the earliest he could get there at 10:30, so he stopped playing tennis. And the pastor said to him, go on, play your tennis and get here when you get here. There's a Hindu doctor. What? Because he watched us walk through things. He said to me once, he called me, and he said, I'm wondering how you were doing. I'm like, I'm fine. He said, well, what's your blood pressure? I don't know. He said, when was the last time you took it? I haven't taken it. He said, well, take it. I'm like, no, I'm not taking it. And he laughed. He said, take. So I take it. And it wasn't a number either one of us were thrilled with. And I'm looking at this number. And I tell him what it is, and I'm thinking, I ain't taking any more medicine. And after a few moments, he said, why don't you go spend some time in prayer? Because we've shared with him, and I tell him, Dr. Shiv, every time I minister, or every time I'm studying to minister, my blood pressure drops. Period. It just drops. Well, you can't be exposed like that to the word and it not affect the change on circumstances. So the key is not more medicine, more meditating on the promises and the benefits of God. And he makes everything right. It's, I'm at the place now where he eliminated one med. He told me, keep it, he'll use it. He said, we'll use this if we want to, as if we need some rescue means. He said, I don't plan on needing it. He reduced the dosage on the other two. Okay, reduced them. And the interesting thing, apart even with the reduction, there's sometimes when I'll take my walking around blood pressure, it's like 107 over 65. And if I go sometimes, if I stand up too quickly, it's like 89 over 58. Okay. And we know that's not great either to have those kind of drops. And so I suspect when I go again, He's going to reduce even more. Okay. But yet last night, some familiar symptoms tried to appear. I ain't think about it. I mind you, I'm preparing a message, remember his benefits. Okay. So what does the devil do? Try and bring something to make me forget. So I did two things. I mean, at one point, I would run upstairs and say, honey, you know, I'm starting to feel these symptoms. This is the first time that she's heard it. First time. I put on Alicia Williams' song, Forget Not His Benefits, and had that play over and over. Threw my hands out, said, thank you, Father. I remember your benefits. And my blood pressure, you make it right. You make it right. The only other thing that I did is that the glare from the computer screen was uncomfortable. So I just put on my dark glasses and just kept working. And then somewhere before the end of it, I felt great. But had I been thinking about it, you know what would have happened? It would have went higher and higher because it's anxiety driven. But I remembered the benefits. I know that God makes everything come out right, period. I know that. And in addition to that, he promised to provide for my every need. In addition to what? In addition to what he'd said in Psalm 103 up to this point, he said he'll provide for your every need. Period. So what am I concerned? What is there to be concerned about? That's why I said these two go over here, these three, because one of them is blank. The other one said there's nothing pressing me down because I put everything in God's hand and I know he will take care of it. See, that's the desired effect that the benefits are supposed to produce on your mind. I don't have anything pressing or troubling me, thank God. That's the desired effect, folks, that God wants. That's why he gave us the benefits, and he's telling us to remember them. He's causing us to think based on how he acts. That's why, I mean, you'd have thought Pastor Jesse and I sat down and planned this whole thing out. I'm listening to these songs that he's singing, and I'm like, that's what we were talking about last night, God. We have to know who he is. The Bible said, I couldn't think of his name last night. Praise the Lord, he just came to me. Lynn Mink wrote a song. He was big with children back in I guess, the 70s and 80s. He had this character called Gospel Duck, you know, and the children loved it. Well, he wrote a song, 30,000 Promises. He said there are 30,000 promises in the Bible. Now, I didn't go through it and count each one, and I trust that he did. But I'm like, think about 30,000 promises from God. And you mean to tell me that because of what you're going through, there needs to be 30,001? He's got everything and anything that any human being can possibly have to face covered. And he had it covered before we were formed in our mother's womb. He already knows the exact date and time of every situation we're going to face. But that's why he told us, study. Study what? The word. Why? To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, a workman that's not concerned about what they're going through, a workman that's not embarrassed because they're walking through something. They're rightly dividing the word of truth, so they're walking through. Now think about this. Would you mind just sitting right here on the... just popped in. Just sit right there. Okay. You all see my shadow? You feel that? You feel that? No? Well, Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. We're not even in the valley of death. We're in the shadow. Shadows can't hurt you. No matter what, I could stand like this all day. He's just going to see, he can sit there and roll all around, do whatever he wants to, because he knows he's secure. We're only facing the shadow. Why? Because we have a benefit package where God said he will supply our every need. Thank you. Okay. We have to understand that. We're dealing with shadows. And we're acting like they're real. Why? Well, it feels real. It's a mind game. We sat in a room. We went to the Intrepid one summer. We did a New York staycation. And we took the Circle Line, went to the Statue of Liberty. It was fun. We went to the Intrepid, and they had a ride where you sit in this chair in a room. You're buckled in a chair, and they have this big wide screen. And you feel like you're riding a roller coaster, dropping straight down. And the effect is so real. Now you have to look, okay, I'm still sitting in this chair. I mean, it looks that real. That's the way we need to view these circumstances that come. You're safe and secure in the Father's arms. It feels like you're being swung around from the top of the Empire State Building. That's what it feels like. But the reality is, you're safe and secure in your Father's arms. And he, according to his word, is going to make sure that everything comes out right. So what difference does it make what we go through? We already know how it's going to end. See, that's the cake. You ready for the icing? See, all this is good, but that's not the icing, okay? You want the icing? Okay, I'll say it over here then. This is the side that one. Okay. All right, now, basic ground rule. We understand we have to praise the Lord and not forget his. Okay, we all got that, right? Okay, you know how the insurance companies now, they have all these different characters? Okay, what is Geico's character? And what else? They have another one. Yeah, the pig. Okay. Progressive has Flo. Allstate has one. No, they have a character now. Mayhem. That's the Allstate character, Mayhem. They say Mayhem is everywhere. Okay. And you don't know where Mayhem is going to show up. Okay. Let me tell you what Mayhem is. Willfully inflicting a bodily injury on another so as to cripple or mutilate or make the victim less capable of self-defense. Mayhem is random or deliberate violence or damage. It's a state of rowdy disorder. And you're like, that doesn't sound like icing. It's not. We're just getting ready. I want you to understand, the moment you open your eyes in the morning, mayhem is waiting for you. The moment, as soon as you pop open your eyes, before you can say, good morning, Father, mayhem has been sitting there, just sitting there waiting. He's like, about time, I was wondering when you were going to wake up. Okay. He's just sitting here waiting for you. Okay. God knows this. He knows exactly what mayhem intends to do to you on any given day. He knows. And he needs to make sure that you're not negatively affected by it. See, he's not going to prevent you from encountering mayhem. He wants you to encounter mayhem. You know why? It's going to prove that he's God to you and to mayhem, okay? He knows. And because he knows that mayhem doesn't come the same way all the time, he has to do some different things to us. Psalm 68. I got to pick it up now. Verse 19. We're going to do this in a few translations. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every single day, God loads you up with benefits. Every single day. Why? He knows what's facing you that day. So he loads the benefits that will get you through that day. And he does that every single day. Every day. New Living Translation. Praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. Each day. English Standard. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Every day he holds us up. You ever see that old movie, Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man? Okay. And you know, the guy's a boxer, and who's the fat one? Costello is, he's in the ring, and the Invisible Man is holding him up, holding him up, and fighting for him. You know, all he had to do is go like this, and Invisible Man goes and clocks the guy. I mean, and the folks were like, "Wow, he was quick! We didn't even see that punch coming." You know, and then the opponent is throwing the punch, and the invisible guy is moving him out of the way, just moving him out of the way. We need to understand, we're wrapped up in God's arms. You think God's going to put us in and say, "Yeah, hit him, go ahead, right here, I'll hold him for you." No, you're there, and then you're not. That's the way it is. That's part of the benefits. So when mayhem comes, and he starts whatever he does, he said, "What happened to him? I thought he was right here." He looks at you going on doing what God told you to do. Not even concerned about it because God daily carries us. God's Word translation. Thanks be to the Lord who daily carries our burdens for us. So not only is he carrying us, he's carrying everything that concerns us. So what are we concerned about? We have no concerns unless we decide to be stingy and keep them when they come. The Darby Bible. Blessed be the Lord. Day by day does he load us with good. Day by day he loads us with good. I'm going to lay this icing on thick right here because I started reading commentaries and the Gill's exposition of the entire Bible says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, with all spiritual blessings, with an abundance of grace, as well as with temporal mercies, for which he is and ought to be praised. He loads us with all spiritual blessings and abundance of grace and temporal mercies. That means he situational mercies. Things pop up, mercy. Got it. You don't even have to ask for mercy, God. Oh, God, you just have to remember that it's part of the benefits. That's all. And some additional verses I want to share in Psalm 103. It says, God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him, who reverence him, who remember. Who remember. See, the only person that loves Phyllis more than I do is God. But she can choose to reject it. Doesn't mean my love for her is not strong. Doesn't mean it's not there. If for whatever reason, and she doesn't, but if for whatever reason she decides not to avail herself of it, that's not on me. That would be on her. This Bible tells us that as far, as high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love for those who reverence him. As far as the sun rises from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins. All we have to do is remember it and let it have the desired effect on our minds. God's love is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and their children. His love makes everything right for you and your children. One of the concerns was about our children. God's love makes everything right for you and your children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do whatever he said. Well, why wouldn't they do whatever he said if that's all they see us doing? If they're not doing everything he said, somebody's been the wrong model. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. Peer pressure is not the most powerful force in a child's life. It's not. It pales in comparison to what they observe in their parents. Period. Period. And the sooner we as parents and grandparents understand that, the better it'll be for our children. Children don't always have 20/20 vision. Excellent hearing. But they have 15/15 vision when it comes to watching us. They see everything that we do and will imitate it. You can be godly 90% of the time. You can be godly 98% of the time. They're going to imitate that 2%. I'm telling you. They're going to imitate what? That's all the enemy needs is an opening. Doesn't matter how big an opening. That's why God needs us to remember his benefits so that he has the desired effect in our minds. Because if our thinking is correct, then our actions will be correct and our words will be correct. One of the things that used to annoy me growing up is that mommy was brutal. Especially if you lied. If you lied, you had to rinse your mouth out with hot sauce and all that ridiculous stuff. Really. First you get knocked in the mouth, then to rinse the blood out of your mouth, you do use hot sauce. I mean, that happened today, she'd be under the jail. I mean, that's, okay. Yet, the phone rings, I answer it, it's a bill collector, looking for her, says, tell him I'm not here. Now I got a choice to make. Either I do what she says, or I put my life on the line and say, oh, so you want me to lie. Okay. Yeah. But she couldn't stop me from thinking. Okay. It's like inside I was saying it. But so how did that affect me? Well, I realized that sometimes it's okay to lie. That was the example that I had. sometimes it's okay. So I was just trying to figure out what those times were. When you're in Christ, you know that God hates a lying tongue, period. So that lets me know there is never any time to lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Every lie brings darkness. Every lie. God has set his throne in heaven. He rules over all of us. This isn't in the text. Not the devil and certainly not mayhem. Okay. God is the king. He makes sure that every day we have all we need to walk through mayhem in whatever form it comes. We only have one assignment, folks, and one assignment only. To remember. To remember. That's all. Remember all his benefits. That's all we need to do. We remember, we walk through it. We forget, we don't. It's just that simple. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. My spouse is healthy, and vitality courses through him. Our finances, present and future, are intact. I walk in the wisdom of God, because he said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So there's not an issue with me being healthy. He said he'd supply for my every need. So my resources are increased as they are needed. As they are needed. And because God said, be not deceived, bad friends cause bad behavior, he's going to send the good people to me. And because I'm the proper example, I'll have a good family. Because I'm like Abraham. I'm going to raise my family to follow me, and I follow God. So if they follow me, they follow God, and God will be pleased. Because I have God's wisdom available for me, and because I hear his voice, I know exactly what he wants me to do at any given moment. So I don't have to concern myself. Why are we concerning ourselves about our future? We need to concern ourselves about our now. That's all. Because your future is not guaranteed. Or more accurately, your future on this earth is not guaranteed. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. You're planning for what's going to happen 10 years from now. 2 years from now, we could be in heaven. You think, oh Lord, I'm going to get killed in 2 years? No, we're not. Jesus could come back at any time. So you need to have your now in place. And as long as your now is in place, your future is secure. Because right now, you're doing everything that God told you to do. And when you keep doing that every single now moment, next thing you know, you'll pass your future. I mean, today is your future compared to last week. I mean, you think about that. If you didn't do what you're supposed to do last week, you wouldn't be here. So let's stop thinking about future and start concentrating on what we are supposed to be doing right now. Okay? We talked about finances. We talked about why is the church not as powerful? It is as powerful. Just as the church members have forgotten the benefits. So now that at least this group has remembered the benefits, there's a power that's going to come out of this place that's going to infect the areas that you go into. Period. The most powerful force on the earth is the church. We have to understand that. Now, come on. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Period. But the church has to have the desired mindset. And we're not going to have that if we don't remember the benefits. Life. Jesus said he came so that you'd have life. And not just have life, but have it more abundantly. So what's the concern with life? It's part of our benefit package. See, we have to study our benefit package. I mean, some folks, you know, you're working on the job and you're getting ready to retire from that job, and you're not quite sure what you're entitled to. We have benefit package. Need to read it. Need to study it. I'm amazed at contract employees that don't read their contract. I am, right? They don't read their contract. So they don't know what's available. Don't know what they can do or can't do. Now, I was in fast food. I was managing some restaurants, and the union employees, I wanted to change the schedule, and they told me I couldn't do it because they were in the union. Their contract said that they had to work the morning shift and had to get 40 hours each week. I said, oh, really? Oh, didn't know that. Okay. I called the union office. I need a copy of your contract. He said, why? I said, well, I want to make some changes to the restaurant, and I want to make sure that everything is done in line with the contract. The guy said, wow, no area manager's ever called us for that. I'm like, well, I just need to know. So I read the contract and highlighted some things, and I made two plans. I made one plan that I needed for the restaurant, and I made another one that was in strict, that strictly adhered to every terms in their contract. Now, the one that I needed, that conformed to the contract because I wasn't trying to cut hours. I just didn't need 11 employees on breakfast, and it's a chicken restaurant. That's ridiculous. And so I had them spread out, but no. Nobody worked more than 20 hours in the week. No one. And so I presented that, and they had a fit. You can't do that. I'm in the union. I'm supposed to work 40 hours a week. I said, these are copies of your contract. I highlighted them and all numbered them. Look at number 3. Union, it said non-union workers may not work more hours than a union worker. Didn't say anything about the number of hours they had to work. And they're like, but I can't live off of this. I can't. And some of them, nobody worked 5 days. I mean, that was it. And I said, well, you said that you wanted to go, that you were going to work, and you used the word strictly. You're going to work strictly according to the contract. We never read the contract. Well, I do have another one that I'm willing to share. And I, oh, yeah, this one looks real good. Well, I knew the contract. You got to know what your benefit package is, folks. You got to know what God says. I'm telling you, I like basketball as much as anybody. But I find myself sitting down watching playoff games and pulling out my iPad and looking up some scriptures and things. And my mind is shifting from the game to spiritual things. And I'm like, boy, first you take away the desire to play. Now you're taking away the desire to watch. You know. But it's, what good, what is, can somebody tell me how me sitting down watching what I understand now is the Thunder lose to the Spurs is going to benefit the kingdom? How is that going to happen? I'm not against watching. Don't say Pastor Carr said you can't watch basketball games. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for me, it was wasting time. My head, God was having the desired effect on my mind. And there are other things that I'm thinking about. I need to, benefit packages, basic benefit packages are the same. Sometimes the terms change based on your position where you are in the kingdom. Where much is given, much is required. And him that's given much has the right to ask for even more. So as much as I think may think that God has asked me to do, he still has the right to ask me to do even more because of what he's given me.